This morning, God's Word comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be reading just the first 7 verses of this chapter. First Peter 5, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this morning is a first in the life of our congregation, the first installation of office bearers, elders and deacons. And thinking about that, I thought we probably should spend some time in God's Word reminding ourselves of the work of the office bearers. However, elders and deacons both have different work to do, similar but different. This morning, we will focus on the work of the eldership, and perhaps sometime in the future, take some time focusing on the work of the diaconate as well. We don't mean to slight you this morning, deacons, but we are going to focus this morning on the work of the elders. Hearing instruction from God's Word. Now, it'd be easy to say, well, look, if we're going to talk about the eldership, then these three up here better listen, and the rest of you can take your nap. Okay, that's not the way it is this morning. Because all of us have to understand what the work of the elders is. We have elected them to office. We have ordained, installed them in office. Now, what do we expect them to do? What do we as congregation expect from them? We all need instruction in the office of the elder and what their work is to do. And that's why tonight, this morning we will talk about the eldership, but there's instruction for all of us in terms of our expectations and God's expectations in the church. Peter says, I exhort the elders amongst you as a fellow elder. And I guess that's how I exhort you, brothers, this morning. Not as one with all the answers. Not as one who does it all right. But as one who has been given the task from the Word of God to bring an exhortation to you, to bring an exhortation to the congregation about the work that we are going to undertake together. What do we understand of the work of the elders? Well, Peter makes it very clear. Shepherd the flock of God. That beautiful picture of a shepherd. Elders are called to shepherd God's flock. Now, it's important for us to remember that. That is their primary task. The elders are not, first of all, the corporate officers in the church. Now, to be sure, the elders have some administration to do. And at our meetings together, we will vote on different matters. They will act in what might look like a corporate way. They will set policy for the church. They will set procedures for the church in place. But the church is not primarily a corporation. The church is the flock of God. They are not corporate officers, first of all. They are shepherds of God's flock. The elders are not, first of all, our elected representatives on the council. Now, we might tend to think that sometime because of the way that we elect them. We put them up for office, and we have an election that takes place. And in the democratic society in which we live, it's easy for us to think, therefore, they are our voice on the council. And they represent us when we meet together.
But that's not the work of the elder. They are not the elected representatives of the people. They are those whom God has chosen to be His representatives in your midst. They don't represent you. They represent Christ among you. His ruling authority. His care for His people. His concern for the flock. That is the task of the elders. Not corporate officers, not representatives, but, as Peter says, those who exercise oversight. What a beautiful word, children. Oversight. It just means to look over, to watch, to see. That is what the elders do. As shepherds, they will give oversight to the congregation. And that oversight really, really comes to us in two forms. The elders as shepherds will protect, and the elders will correct. They will protect, they will correct. They will protect us as a body. They will protect us as a body against theological error. Now, this morning, we took time to have them sign the form of subscription. We took time to read the form of subscription. And they promise not only to teach the truth, but to defend the church against falsehood. The elders protect us as a body. When there are theological movements, when there are strange doctrines coming into the church, the elders are our first line of defense against that. They have promised not only to teach, but to defend the church as shepherds care for a flock. The overseers protect us. They watch over us as a body. They watch over us as individuals. The elders are given to you to care for you, to watch over you, to protect you. That's one of the reasons that the elders will engage in family visiting. This is not a time for the elders to snoop into your business. This is a time for the elders to come and, in the exercise of their office, see how things are going in your life. How is your walk with your Lord, with the Lord? How is your relationship with your family? How is your place in the church? And they come to give oversight. Please be prepared to receive that as a blessing. You have someone who loves you enough to take time out of their schedule to come into your schedule and to visit with you and to talk with you and to read God's Word with you and to pray with you. What a blessing for the church. God has given us overseers. God has given us shepherds who care enough, who love us enough to protect us. The elders protect. The elders also correct. The elders will love you enough that when they see something in your life that is going to be of a detriment to your walk with the Lord, they will love you enough that they will bring that to your attention in love. They will not let you wander off away from the sheep. They will not let you go your own way. But as shepherds, given the task of oversight, they will care enough for you to call you back to the flock. Sometimes we think that church discipline is done because we want to get people out of the church. It's exactly the opposite. Church discipline is exercised to bring people back into the flock, into the fold, into the fellowship. If the elders did not care about you, they would let you wander off. But they love you enough to come and, in the name of Christ, call you back to the way of obedience. Oh, the blessing of having shepherds over the flock of God. That is their task. Not corporate officers, not elected representatives, but overseers to protect us and to correct us. Now, who is this flock that they care for? Shepherd the flock of God. that is among you.
Elders, remember that. These are God's people. These are God's sheep. Not a random collection of individuals, but God's chosen, whom He in His love has called together as a congregation, as a particular congregation, in a particular federation. And He has given the elders the charge to care for God's people here in Sioux Center. They will not treat you like Philistines. They will treat you as the house of Israel, as those whom God has called, as those whom God has chosen. They will approach you in that way, shepherding the flock of God. The flock of God under the elders' care. That's a reminder to us as congregation. God has placed these elders over us. We are the flock in need of those under-shepherds. Those who will come and protect and correct. And that obliges us then to submit properly to the elders. Verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, humbling ourselves under their leadership. They don't come with their own personal agenda. They don't come with their own list of things they want to do. They come in God's name, in Christ's name, to shepherd us as God's flock. Remembering that we are the flock of the shepherd obligates us to willingly humble ourselves, to willingly submit to them. The elders will not always be right, but they will always be the elders. Peter earlier gives instructions about submitting to authority. Back in chapter 2, verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. He was calling them to submission to the governing authorities, whether or not they were godly. But to, in submission to Christ, submit to authority. When the elders make mistakes, we are not allowed to just simply say, well, that's a mistake on their part. We are still called to submit. He says in verse 18 of chapter 2, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Even if the elders make a mistake, we can't throw off their leadership, but we must be subject to them. And in chapter 3, likewise, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Whether or not the husband is even a godly man, wives are called to submit. In the same way, we as the flock of Christ submit ourselves, be in subjection to the elders. We trust that when they make mistakes, they will be guided and directed back to the path of the right way, and God will work with them. But it is not for us to just throw off their leadership. They are Christ's representative of kingship among us. Being the flock of the shepherd obligates us to lovingly, willingly submit to the elders, to honor them, to pray for them. I've worked with enough elders to know that their main desire is that you would pray for them. They have weighty decisions they will make. They have times they will agree in accord. There will be times that they disagree. Pray for your elders. Pray for patience. Pray for strength. Pray for a humble heart to serve as God has called. I encourage you, as the flock of Christ, daily uphold these men in your prayers, for it will be a blessing to you. It will be a blessing to you as God sees fit to answer your prayers, to guide and to direct them, to give them the wisdom that they so desire. It will be for our blessing when God uses the eldership to shepherd us
as the flock of God. How do the elders do their work? And Peter tells us about that as well. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Shepherd them not under compulsion, but willingly, or we might say, not constrained, but compliant. The elders shepherd with the heart of a shepherd, not constrained, but compliant. They did not accept the call to the office simply because nobody else would do it. But there was a desire to comply to the call of God. 1 Timothy says it's the office of elder is something to be sought after, to be used by God with our gifts and talents in the office of elder. The brothers serve not constrained because they feel like they must, no one else can do it, but because they are compliant to God's call. God's call to use their particular gifts, their particular talents, their life experiences, the wisdom God has given to him, the desire to use that as a blessing for the people of God. That's the heart of the shepherd. Not having to do the work, but desiring to do the work. The shepherd's work, not constrained, but compliant. Peter says, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. We might say, not greedy, but giving. Not greedy for what they can get. Peter uses the word shameful gain. Now, what is the gain in the eldership? What gain can these brothers have? Well, there is a certain gain in being an elder. It is a sacred office. It is a position that we look to with respect. It is someone that we honor. If we can use this word, they have the power in the church. The elders do rule with the authority of Christ. Sometimes, kids, you know what? When people look at the church, they think the minister's in charge. Oh, wouldn't that be something if the minister were in charge, okay? No. That's not the way it goes. The minister is up front, but he is certainly not in charge. The elders are the ones who rule the church. The elders are the ones who make the decisions. That's why if you have an idea about how you might like something changed or done differently in the church, a lot of times what happens is people will come to me and they'll say, we would like to do it this way. And I'll say, that sounds like a fantastic idea. Let's go find an elder. Because I don't make those decisions. The elders make those decisions. There is a certain amount of gain that comes in being an elder. But that's not why they do it. They are not greedy for shameful gain, but they are giving, willing eagerly to work, willing eagerly to take up their office, willing eagerly to give of themselves for the sake of the flock. The elder's heart is not greedy for what they can get out of it, but giving what they can put in for the love and care of the congregation. And then finally, Peter says, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. They are not lording it over us, but leading. Not lording, but leading. Elders lead the sheep. They don't drive the sheep. Cattle are driven. Cattle are forced to go here and there. Sheep are led by a shepherd. The elders don't lord it over us, their authority, their responsibility, but they use that authority given to them by Christ to lead and guide, and Peter says, by example. There are not many things that bring fear in the heart of an elder more than knowing that he is to be an example for the flock. That is a frightening charge. But yet, that is the call God gives, to be leaders by example. Leaders in your devotional life, in the time you spend with the Word of God and in prayer, that you might come alongside others. And the Word of God is not foreign to you, but it is intimate to you. And you can come alongside and read that Word and pray with people. The example you set in the relationships you have, in the relationship with your wife, in the relationship with your children. We need that example. We get all the other examples from the world. It bombards us. We need your godly example of what a Christian family looks like. Brothers, that's the task you've been given, to model that for us. An example in your devotional life, an example in your relational life, an example in your reputation with the community. To have good relations with those in the places where you work. Good relations with your neighbors, that you might model for us how we might care for those around us in our neighborhoods, with our neighbors, with our co-workers. And even as we look to the elders for an example, they point us not only to themselves, but away from themselves, to the great shepherd of the sheep, to Jesus Christ. Their example is a reflection of his example. For he came and he served, not constrained, but compliant to the will of his Father. Willing to come and live with his sheep and care for his sheep and give up his life for his sheep. Not constrained, but compliant. Not greedy for the authority Christ could have, but giving up even his own life, even his own blood, for your sake. The great example, the shepherd of the sheep. And one who was not lording over, but leading and guiding in the paths of righteousness. Brothers, take us to him. Take us to Christ. When you come and sit with us and we are concerned about the health of our loved ones, take us to Christ, the one who cares and loves and is concerned about us. When we are overjoyed for what God is doing, take us to Christ, who shares that joy with us. It is easy for the elder to try to be an example in himself. We will fail. We will fail. Christ never, ever fails. Bring us to him, to the great shepherd, to the one who loves us, cares about us, and leads and guides us in the paths of righteousness. He is the good shepherd. We shall have no wants. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He restores our soul. He guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for that great shepherd is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. God has given us shepherds. Shepherds in our midst. Shepherds to care for us. But they serve the chief shepherd of the sheep. They serve the one who loved us so much that he would give up his own life on our behalf. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are well cared for, not only by these three brothers, set apart, ordained, installed for ministry, but they serve under the authority of Jesus Christ, your great shepherd, the shepherd of his flock. Let us join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for the pictures given to us in your word of your relationship with your people. And that beautiful picture of shepherd and sheep. We know, O God, how easily we would wander off. We would go our own way. But you in your love and mercy do not allow that. But you've set apart men in our own midst
to guide us back to the paths of righteousness, to guide us back to you, to point us once again to Christ, our true shepherd of the sheep. Strengthen these brothers. Strengthen them with an ongoing desire to serve. Strengthen them with the physical strength to serve, the spiritual strength to serve. Give them patience. Give them wisdom. And Lord, bless us as we receive the blessing. When you rule us through them, may we recognize your goodness to us, whether it is in protection or whether it is in correction, that you are showing your love and care to us, your flock, your sheep. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.